Word up, word of mouth. Wednesday, we're back here for another Wednesday. This is June the 9th, 2010, and we got a big show tonight. My name is Daniel Libby, and today we'll be going in-depth on the subject of the upcoming G20 summit. The downtown core is getting locked down, fenced in, and activists are speaking out in the face of police intimidation tactics. Joining us to discuss this overwhelming police presence at a G20 resistance press conference yesterday, Adonis El Jamal will be on the phone later in the show. He's a spokesperson for the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. Plus, with the over $1 billion price tag announced for the summit, the Torontonians are starting to take notice. We've got City Councilor Adam Vaughan laying out a G20-related challenge for the chosen six mayoral contenders at the CP24 debate last night. Plus, Mayor Miller has let his thoughts get out on the G20, and the community is mobilizing. Truth seekers are on the streets, fences are going up, sound cannons are warming up, CCTV cameras are installed, and Ottawa's got even more with the multi-billion-dollar plans for the future. All that and more on the Word of Mouth Wednesday tonight, CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Word of Mouth. And joining us first up on the show will be Solomon Muyabuke of the Esplanade Media or Esplanade Community Group. And we'll be talking about a lot of stuff tonight on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Word of Mouth.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
All right, word up, word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here, and joining me in the studio right now, we got our first guest of the show, Solomon Muyabuke of the Esplanade Community Group. Hi, Solomon.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. And I guess just to give the listeners a bit of an overview about what the Esplanade Community Group is all about, what kind of work are you doing?
Well, the Esplanade Community Group is a grassroots organization located in the Esplanade. We started about a year ago, and some of our mandates include housing, keeping housing cheap and affordable, as well as keeping our housing repaired and accessible. And as far as we also have campaigns around police brutality, as well as youth on youth violence, and hopefully getting better jobs for our communities.
Nice. And I guess with all the stuff that's been going on in the community, I guess what are some of the things going on in the community, I guess, that you're working on?
Well, currently right now we're working on a project which we have going on this Friday, June the 11th.
Nice.
And it's going to be held over at the LKYPT, which is the Lorraine Kimza Theater for Young People.
Nice.
And what will be going on is we'll be putting on a hip-hop show, which will also be comprised of some singers, a funk band, and a theatrical group. And what we'll be doing is we'll be, A, putting on a great show for our community, trying to raise money for the group, seeing that we are a self-funded group that funds ourselves through our membership. And also speaking out on some of the issues that we deal with, and having the ability to get the ear of the community in a more casual setting.
Nice. And so this is a so you gave a few of the details. When was this this event? Is this Friday?
Yeah, this Friday, 6:30.
6:30. Okay.
Over at the YPT. It's over at George and Front Street.
Nice. And I guess one of the issues that I know that you've been working on involves, the police in the community. I was wondering, what's going on with the focus on police repression in the Esplanade Community Group?
Well, as of now, what we have going on is kind of like an amateur cop watch in many respects. As of now, we had a great deal of problems with the police in our community. We had youth that were being beat up. Just as of late, we had an elderly man of the community. And I believe one misconception many people have is that police brutality only pertains to minorities. The gentleman I was speaking of in the past few weeks is he's in his 50s, an elderly white male, and was roughed up by the police, a respected member of our community. And so one thing we definitely are working on is trying to find a way to make our police divisions accountable to the community. So what we have going on right now is more or less a community-run cop watch in which some of the youth in our neighborhoods have our phone numbers, and whenever they are stopped by the police and don't know what to do, they can call us, and we are more than willing to come out and observe just to ensure that their rights are being maintained and respected.
Wow, yeah, this is, so that's something, I guess this is like, is this community watch would just be in the, with the Esplanade group, or is this all over Toronto?
Well, as of now, right, it is exclusive to the Esplanade group with us. Mm-hmm. We've covered some of the stories through one of the publications we write in, Basics, which involved a youth in Moss Park, and our eventual goal is to hopefully have start up our work throughout the city and have it go from neighborhood to neighborhood and hopefully start, well, we started it off and hopefully get it out there and hopefully to the east and to the west and move it throughout Toronto.
Right. And I heard actually on a, on another station, community radio station, CHRY, actually they have a Radio Basics show that I heard a few days ago, somebody from the Esplanade Community Group was on there. And then it got into the subject, and the subject we've talked a bit about on the Word of Mouth Wednesday before has to do with the recent death of a citizen of Toronto, Junior Manon. Do you know anything about what's been going on with this case or any updates?
I'm not exactly completely enlightened, but I did attend the rally over by the coroner's coroner's inquest at on Yonge Street, and what happened was 2 days after the murder, as I'd like to call it, the family called for a rally, and there was about 100 people that came out. And in the newspapers, you had a story that told you that this young, healthy male at the age of 18, after a short foot pursuit, fell dead from a heart attack. And shortly after, the lawyer went in, and the family went and looked at the body, and you had a neck brace on the kid. He looked at it as if he had been beaten, and our media hasn't accurately covered our story the way it should have been.
Right. And that's why I'm glad that we got the community radio, we got Word of Mouth Wednesday, we got Basics News newsletter. You can read about some of this stuff, and we're trying to get the word out here on Word of Mouth Wednesday. And I guess it's also great that you're doing some work in the community, actually meeting with people and getting this word out. But I guess one of the things we wanted to talk about with what you're doing is this, the event that you mentioned on Friday, just to give, I guess, the details again, just to make sure that we know, I guess what's going on. I know you said it's going to be at the theater, Lorraine Kinsman Theater, which is downtown. And then, so you're saying that there's going to be some music and presentations?
Yes, there'll definitely be a couple of speeches. We have some guest speakers who are coming to talk about what we believe is extremely important. As much as we're there to have a good time and enjoy the music and the culture of the event through the music and the visual art, we also feel the pressing need to talk about some of the issues we have within our own communities. Like I said earlier, with the issues of housing, the issues of our youth, the issues of the police in our communities, and how we can work as a community as a whole to improve these conditions. And hopefully there'll be a meet and greet. Hopefully we can get some politicians out and you can ask those questions directly to the people responsible for your current conditions, whether you like them or not. And I think it would be a great way for people to meet community and build that across the city. So I do invite everybody out. There will be tickets. Tickets as of now are $10 for anybody 19 and over, and $5 for anybody 18 and younger.
Nice. And where could you get those?
You can either email the Esplanade Community Group at gmail.com, or we will be selling tickets at the door as well.
So Esplanade Community Group at gmail.com. to get in contact with you guys. And I guess just looking into the future, are you guys planning anything? Because I know you guys are right downtown, and we got this big G20 coming in. Are you guys planning anything around the G20?
As of now, what we have planned is seeing that the G20 is in our community. It's a little west of us. We felt it necessary to definitely have a talk with our communities and kind of to some extent educate them on the on what is going to go on with the G20. So we will be holding hopefully a little seminar, a little educational on the G20 as well as Pride. We also feel like we want our communities to be as informed and as tolerant as possible when it comes to the communities as a whole. One of our main goals with discussing Pride is to have our youth understand that you may not agree with certain ideas, you may not partake, but you should respect. You know what I mean? If you'd like your liberties and civil rights respected, you must also show the same. And with the G20, we want people to understand exactly what's going on. You have billions of dollars that are being spent, and that money belongs to you. And I feel everybody should have an opinion on the G20. And I feel people are kind of passive to the idea, not understanding that everyday working class people like yourselves and I will be paying for this.
All right. Yeah. True words. We're speaking with Solomon Moyibuke. And thanks a lot, Solomon, for coming down to the studio tonight.
Once again, thank you very much for having me.
All right, thanks. Yeah, and that was Solomon Moyibuke of the Esplanade Community Group. And check out their event taking place which is going to be taking place this Friday, which is the 11th of June. And we're going to be right back here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. So we're just going to throw it to a quick music track here, and we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday with our next guest speaking about the Toronto community mobilization around the G20. This is a track called G8 G20, Crash the Party, Crash the Meeting, Toronto 2010, and Archie Chris, Word Up, Word of Mouth. We'll be back. Word Up.
G8 G20, they few, we many. G8 G20, they few, we many. There's nowhere you can't go in the world without opposition to your plans. I'm making it twirl around your greedy fingers. We watching it swirl down the drain. Insane economics unfurl. See, we're not buying what you're selling, even with your propaganda telling media barons rebelling. We're yelling,
no justice, no peace in the streets.
It's just us versus the elite's police. See, a better world we see, so we're free when we speak. Oil's at its peak, and we gotta defeat. The status quo will keep us unable to speak. On our knees saying, please, we reap what we sow. So you know the whole plan is out of control. The goal to hold power while we get the blindfold. Truth be told, it's the same old song and dance. We're down to the wire, might be our last chance to advance. Humanity, take your stance. The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them.
G8 G20, they few, we many. G8 G20, they few, we many.
Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting.
Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 2010 is here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets.
Lightened sovereignty.
Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. If this is Canada, this is native territory.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. Not sure totally what was going on there with looks like a bit of a computer malfunction. Just trying to get things going here, but we are now. We're back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we've got our guest. We have a guest right now on the line who is a representative or a spokesperson of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. And joining us right now to talk on the Word of Mouth Wednesday is Adonis El Jamal. Hello, Adonis.
Hi, Daniel. How are you?
Hi. Oh, not bad. Thanks for joining us here on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. And
my pleasure.
Oh, yeah, and I just wanted to ask you about, because I got this press release released yesterday. The title is Over 100 Cops Attend Community Press Conference, and it's from the Toronto G20 Mobilization Network. Adonis, what happened yesterday?
Well, yesterday the Toronto Community Mobilization Network was holding a press conference to expose the fact that CSIS agents, RCMP, the Toronto Police, have been visiting and harassing known activists as well as everyday Canadians, which is something that happens all the time. But there have been over 30 incidents of police and CSIS agents visiting people's homes. And so we wanted to highlight this fact along and connected with the fact that this happens to people in exploited and marginalized communities across the GTA every single day who face police brutality and police intimidation, similar to what activists are seeing simply for speaking out. So what we wanted to do was to highlight this fact and show this to the general public and also to shed this stereotype that the fear mongers and the media and the police are trying to make that, you know, that they should be afraid of so-called protesters. But I think the point is that protesters are people. And I don't exactly know what a protester is other than a person who's pissed off about what's going on in the world.
For real. And so I guess the shocking thing of this was that there was the sheer numbers of cops compared to people
right.
attending.
Yeah, it was actually pretty funny to see because it just proved our point for us, right? Like mm-hmm. we're simply holding a press conference and there were more police than media. And, you know, and it was only the police that we could see along with the plainclothes cops standing around as usual, who come to our events, come to our meetings. Where they are not welcome. They're often asked to leave and they refuse to do so, or they wait outside and they try to harass people leaving on their own and targeting individuals when they're not accompanied by their fellow comrades.
Right. And what was the purpose, I guess, or what was the message that you're trying to get across in the press conference?
Well, as I was saying before, we wanted to, show that the police, that these are the activities that the police and CSIS are engaged in, and also the fact that this is nothing new, right? This, mm-hmm. this is happening to activists simply because the G20 is coming to town, you know, and they're spending $1 billion on a overinflated security budget, and they need any excuse to justify it. So they're trying to, you know, make innocent, ordinary people appear to be dangerous thugs, whereas we're not the ones who carry guns when we go to work. So, and also the fact that, you know, the misinformation is being spread through the media, that they should be afraid of what's going to happen to their city in Toronto. And I think we should all be afraid because, you know, they're going to be turning this city and giving us a glimpse of what people in the global south face every day in terms of checkpoints, military officers on the streets with assault rifles, 15,000 or so armed guards that are going to be patrolling the streets. And this is simply because people are upset that G20, one of the most destructive institutions in the world, is coming to town to deliberate on how to mess up the world even more.
Right. And at the press conference, I know for the press conference yesterday, you were down at downtown, you know, you're in the downtown core. Did you right. see any of the fences going up?
Where we were was actually just outside of the convention center, as you know, where will be the so-called red zone, where Torontonians will be no longer able to go to. So if you want to take a stroll to the harborfront, you're not going to be able to do that in the next few weeks. And so we saw this ridiculous fence that's about 9 meters high or so, and just police everywhere. I was stopped on the way there. I had to say that I was a member of the press, or they weren't going to let me through. It was quite a sight to see, given that this is all over a 2-day party for the richest people in the world.
Wow! So you're saying you were stopped before getting to the conference?
That's right. About at Front Street and Bremner, or Front Street and Lower Simcoe, there was a cop directing traffic, and no one was allowed to pass through there. So,
wow!
And this is only going to get worse as by the time we left, the fence was even bigger. Mm-hmm. It's only going to get bigger and worse. And so this is no big deal because this is what people face every day. If you go to places like Regent Park, Jane and Finch, you know, people, youth and people of color and marginalized people are face this every day. They're harassed and intimidated by police on their way to school, stopped and given these so-called routine checks. Junior Menon, a youth who was actually shot and killed by Toronto police about just under a month ago, and you don't hear a word about that in the media. But so we see that this repression is being taken place on the poor and those who advocate for them.
Right. And there's all this stuff's going on. And, you know, there's something I saw on the G20TorontoMobilize.org, the website, Toronto Community Mobilization website. After this, I saw this this main press headline from yesterday. But then there was also another article on there that I saw what was talking about 28 tracked incidents since the 21st of February 2010, 28 incidents of police, I guess, talking with or trying to get information from activists that are concerned about the G20. Do you know anything about these 28 incidents or what this was about?
I'm not going to really expose people's privacy, but I can tell you, some of the, like I was saying before, people have had them walking in on their meetings. I was in a meeting where an RCMP officer and a CSIS agent showed up claiming that they wanted to work with us and blah, 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 blah. And when we asked them to leave, they waited outside for about 3 hours while the meeting went on. We have a person who was stopped in front of his apartment building and was given all sorts of labels that he was being accused of promoting terrorism and asked all these weird questions about what he thinks about authority and then his family members were actually threatened of their status. It's really interesting what's taking place right now. And like I said, this goes on all the time. Non-status workers, temporary migrant workers who live in Toronto. There's been incidents where at Dufferin Mall, of in Dufferin Mall where Canadian border agents are taking people's IDs, and if people don't have landed status, they're being rounded up and deported.
Well, this is why I think that it's good that there is this community mobilization network, a network of groups that has come together just to try to get the word out on this G20. What are some of the things that the Toronto Community Mobilization Network is planning for this G20 coming up?
Well, I'd like to maybe clarify that we're a network. We're not actually planning any of the actions, but we're facilitating and coordinating the events that others are holding, and so we're providing logistical support. We're going to be providing a meal at every single action, legal support for people who are roughed up or harassed by police or arrested and detained for no reason, media and communication support. We've been doing all the outreach, knocking on doors and getting the word out to people in Toronto. There's a whole range of events, really. It's going to be starting on the 18th and 19th with the People Summit. This is an idea taken from the Copenhagen Climate Summit where, ordinary activists and people just said, we don't believe in the legitimacy of these big institutions. We know that they don't have our interests in mind, and that if we want to change this world and make it better, we need to come together and on a collective basis, find the solutions and work to make real changes. So you're going to see the People Summit with various workshops on a whole range of issues, ranging from anti-war and occupation to issues of poverty, the environment, migrant justice, indigenous sovereignty, and that's going on at Ryerson University. You can, if you want the website for that, I think it's peoplesummit.org, but you can also go to our website and you'll find more on that. And then going into the week from the 21st to the 24th, it's the build-up. We have the theme Days of Resistance, so each day, different theme. At 1 p.m., actually, there will be an event at 25 Cecil Street at the Steelworkers Hall, raising awareness about Harper's attacks on reproductive rights at home and abroad. You saw that Bev Oda, the minister who was at the G20 summit meetings at Halifax, who said that they're not going to be funding maternal health. So we're going to be getting a bit more about this. And then later that day at 2 p.m., there will be a march titled All Out in Defense of the Rights of All, happening 2 p.m. at Allen Gardens, which is just at Carlton and Sherbourne Street. Also that same day, time and location to be announced, there's going to be creative civic transformations in street theater, highlighting gender justice. And so all over the city, be prepared to see some surprises and some interesting creative stuff going on. There is so much more happening that evening. There's going to be a roving kiss-in. So look out for that. If you want more information, go to queerg20resistance@gmail.com. That was on the 22nd. On the 23rd, there's going to be a toxic tour of Toronto happening at 11 a.m., meeting at Bathurst and Dundas Street. So you'll get the, I guess, the lowdown of Toronto because, you know, we love to pretend it's such a clean and happy place, but there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. Mm-hmm. The 23rd at 7 p.m., which is the Wednesday, there's going to be a People's Assembly on Climate Justice, talking about the recent Cochabamba Summit in Bolivia that was the People's Summit on Climate Change. The next day, Thursday the 24th, is actually a National Day of Action for Indigenous Sovereignty and Indigenous Rights. So yes, all people that stand in solidarity with the native people of this land should be coming out to that. It's there's going to be a nationally coordinated protest, and so people will be gathering at 11 a.m. at Queen's Park. That same night, there's going to be an event again at the Steelworkers Hall at 8 called Confronting the Invasion, and that's going to be talking about the indigenous struggles of people in the global south, so places like Chile, Bolivia, countries like that. And then so moving into the weekend when the summit takes place, you know that the G8 will be meeting in Huntsville. I don't think it's worth our time to be driving up all the way to cottage country just to shout at a bunch of leaders who don't care about us. So we're going to be staying in town, and there's going to be a mass community march happening at 2:30 p.m., Allen Gardens, which is also Carlton Street, just between Jarvis and Sherbourne. The banner would be Justice for Our Communities, and it's going to be a huge demonstration highlighting the local struggles in Toronto, so anti-poverty, migrant justice, ending economic ties with Israeli apartheid. It's going to be really a diverse and vibrant action. There's going to be a block party at Tent City, and a meal will be served. And then going into the Saturday, there's the big labor march happening at Queen's Park at 1 p.m. Billed as People's First, We Deserve Better. So groups like Greenpeace and the Canadian Labor Congress will be marching, and all those in solidarity with these groups will be there as well. And then at the same time, there will be a militant solidarity march called Get Off the Fence, where folks who want to do the whole labor solidarity thing but want to get a bit closer to the summit, we'll be marching from Queen's Park. Again, that's also at 1 o'clock at Queen's Park. And then that night, there's going to be a radical street party known as Saturday Night Fever. I'm actually looking forward to this. It's going to be a roaming street party throughout the city of Toronto. The location hasn't been posted yet, so I urge everyone to just keep your ear to the street, and you'll find out more about that. And then the 27th, the Sunday, there's a call for autonomous direct action. So all of you listening at home, get creative. If you want to do whatever, do it on that day. There's also going to be, later in the day, there will be a prisoner solidarity march at Bruce Mackey Park, which is in the East End at Dundas and Wardell, fireworks for prison. And then there's also going to be a make-believe tea party at Queen's Park at 3:33 p.m., on the Sunday the 27th. And so I just listed a whole bunch of stuff for you. Hopefully the listeners at home were able to catch that. But if not, go to the website, g20.torontomobilize.org. There's tons of stuff on there, lots of cool links to get the information that you're not getting from the mainstream media.
Great, yeah, and it's a lot of stuff coming up with this G20, a lot of great events, and we're hopefully going to check out some of those for the Word of Mouth Wednesday and cover what's going on. And thanks a lot, Adani El-Jamal, for joining us today.
Oh, no problem. My pleasure. And I'll see everyone in the streets.
All right. Great. Thanks.
Thank you.
And that was Adani El-Jamal of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network joining us over the phone to talk about, some of what's going on. G20 coming to town. G8's going to be north. And, you know, a lot of things, a lot of changes we're seeing coming to Toronto. Things are seeming a bit different now with these precautions. And, well, you know, all these events coming up is going to have a lot of stuff to do in the activist community. Maybe we'll just try to go back into that track that something happened with the computer before, but here's the rest of that track. And Arcade Chris, GAG20, Crash the Meeting.
The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them. GAG20, they few, we many. GAG20, they few, we many. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 20 tenants here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets.
Lightened sovereignty.
Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. This in Canada, this is native territory. Native territory, 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 native territory.
Word up, word of mouth Wednesday. Just trying to see what's up. Oh, yeah, it looks like we got a maybe it's a corrupted file or there's something going strange with the computer here. Anyways, that's I guess maybe even that track could be too hardcore for radio. That is a GAG20 track there. Somebody gave me the news on that. Somebody called in last week actually about recommending that song, so I checked it out on YouTube and doesn't seem to want to play this version that I got of it. So what we're going to do, though, just in case anybody out there listening has anything to say, I think we can open up the phone lines at 416-595-1655, just in case anybody listening out there has anything to say. You know, we got a lot of topics to talk about, but the G20, I guess, is our main focus of today because of what we're seeing going on. So you can give us a call at 416-595-1655. We're talking about a lot of funding going towards the funding of this, including the, you know, the purchase of, well, they're trying to install some fences. They purchased sound cannons. They've got, they purchased some sort of pond for the G20 Media Center, I guess, to give the Media Center, which is going to be, that's what they're going to have at the exhibition, I guess, is going to be, give it the feel of a Muskoka. So they're going to do an indoor pond with a patio, make the people that are stuck in Toronto feel like they're out in the northern wilderness, or at least that's what they're saying, that they're spending, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on putting this thing together. Well, one of the people that is wondering what's going on with the G20 and seems very concerned about it is the local city councilor for a lot of the downtown areas, and that's Adam Vaughn. And he actually, I was watching yesterday on CP24, they did a debate with all the six candidates for mayor, the chosen six. The city councilor, Adam Vaughn, who's a downtown city councilor, challenged the chosen six something about the G20. Here is just that quick clip what happened last night.
As a city, we need to demand the federal government step up to the plate and treat Toronto properly, and quite frankly they're not doing it, and it'd be great for the mayoralty candidates to jointly issue a communique to Stephen Harper saying make sure the businesses are compensated. Don't damage and destroy the local economy when you're debating the world economy. And if the five mayoralty candidates could agree to do that, I think we'd see some leadership out of them.
You heard Adam Vaughn. It's very unusual. He threw down the gauntlet to the six of you saying, what will you do about this? Rocco.
I don't think it's a gauntlet. I think it's a great suggestion, and I'd be happy to sign on the dotted line to that letter.
Bring these people to a Blue Jay game. Bring them to Rogers Centre. Bring them to the R game. Bring them to a soccer
game.
This is
Philadelphia.
Great. Okay. So you know what? This is fantastic. This is a win. Win. This is great. So I don't know what all this negativity. Sure, if there's damage, the government should compensate them. But
well, the government's
the
not. They're saying if there's vandalism, Joe Pantalone, quickly on the vandalism and compensation.
Well, people who are damaged by this should be compensated. It's only fair.
I think that the federal government could have put this at exhibition place. I'm chair of exhibition place. Let me tell you, we met with them many times, and we thought they were headed there, but then they went downtown.
But that didn't happen, though. So compensation to victims?
Compensation to victims, and it's a positive for the city.
Sarah Thompson.
I think there has to be compensation. I think all of us should get together and write that letter and send it out to the federal government.
I'm going to bring a typewriter in right now.
I'm
there. I'll do a computer. Okay, George?
I think the suggestions that Councillor Vaughan makes are good ones, and I'd be very happy to be part of a communique.
Giorgio?
I would sign on the dotted line tonight if we had to.
All right, so that was some of the words, and it looks like all the six chosen candidates were willing to accept the challenge of Adam Vaughan, that if there was a communique that they would sign it, or at least they're at least saying, at the minimum, they're saying that they believe that there should be compensation if, local businesses are destroyed during the G20. Right now, I guess that is not in the $1 billion. That's not part of the security fees or the G20 funding. Right now, the federal government is saying that businesses have to rely on their own insurance. Since the word is getting out, you heard the candidates for mayor. How about we hear from the actual mayor of Toronto? Mayor Miller was actually on last week on our G20 Media Watch. We're looking out for community media. I was checking the show Goal Talk Live, and I saw Mayor Miller on. This is what happens when Mayor Miller was asked about the G20 when he was on Goal Talk Live.
I mean this with great respect to the Prime Minister. I had a chat with him about it, a brief one, on Saturday, I think, Dale. Mm-hmm. But first of all, this was planned in short notice. Secondly, I know some of the costs, for example, there's something like $50 million gone to redo the airport in North Bay for security purposes, and now they're not even using it. So I know because of the timing pressures that there aren't the normal spending controls. And I think we should have looked the other way round, not say what is the ultimate in security and just write a blank check. We should have said what's the budget. And the original budget, I think, was 100 and something million. So, let's say you double that. And there should have been a much stronger effort to cap it. And in my view, my very strong view, one of the ways they could have done that was by hosting the talks at Exhibition Place instead of in the heart of downtown Toronto, because the logistics for security at Exhibition Place would be much, much easier. As I said earlier to you, Dale,
it's all about location, isn't it?
It's all about location.
Yeah.
Now, the police say, well, we got to make the hotel secure anyway. I think there you could have had a much more cost-effective and secure meeting if you'd used Exhibition Place.
Okay.
All right, word of mouth, Wednesday. We are back here on the show. It's about 7:41 p.m. You're listening to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, broadcasting from Ryerson University. And Ryerson University is actually going to be hosting, I think, some of the events before leading up to the G20 that you heard Adonis mention in the interview that we just had when he was talking about the People's Summit. Now, you can check out... People Summit at the website peoplesummit2010.ca, peoplesummit2010.ca, People Summit at Ryerson Campus. Yeah, so it'll be, I think some of the events are right around here at Ryerson Campus. And, that's some of the stuff that we're seeing going on. And for instance, here is another quick clip of what Mayor Miller was talking about when he's talking about the G20. We're just playing these clips off of... just a quick recording I did of a community television show, Goal Talk Live. Now, Mayor Miller, the current mayor of Toronto, was on there, talked about what is going on. What are some of the things that you can look out for if you're in the downtown core that if you see it, you'll know that this is a G20 precaution. One of the things has to do with the newspaper boxes. And here is Mayor Miller's thoughts on the...
In the downtown core, every newspaper box has to go for the G20 within the secure area because they're easily picked up. And everyone will be checked to see if it is legal and appropriate. And the ones that aren't won't go back.
So that's what he's talking about, is that the newspaper boxes are going to be removed. Now, I guess the authorities have pointed out that newspaper boxes, or the, you know, the boxes that you see in Now Magazine and iWeekly, and all, I guess basically all newspapers have these kind of boxes, as well as flyers. You see a lot of flyering info. They got info on real estate, info on employment. These kind of boxes, I guess, everywhere around the downtown core within the next few weeks are going to be gone. They're going to be removed from the downtown core because they're a dangerous object, I guess, if there is the anarchy going on that they're, you know, that they're predicting could happen. So this is why we're opening up the phone. We're opening up the phone lines here for just in case anybody has anything to say on the G20. You can give us a call at 416-595-1655. What do you think is going to happen at the end of June? Because we're still a few weeks away from this, and we're talking about an event from June 25th to 27th. G8 is 25th, 26th, and the G20, 26th, 27th. And you know, in between that, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I think we've got a caller though, so let me just pick this up here. Hold on. Hello, caller. This is CKLN 88.1 FM. You're on the air.
Greetings. Good evening.
Hi. Greetings.
Yeah, man. This G20 thing is a big waste of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and this is, just bear with me for a minute.
Yep.
In my next statement.
Right.
Okay. I view Canadians as very stupid people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We protest over the dumbest things.
Right.
And we don't protest over the things that we should protest. For
right.
example, Rogers Cable, 15 years ago, wanted to raise the rate. Everybody threw hell into the wind and raised riots and everything. They were protesting. Rogers backed off, kept the rates at the way they were. A few weeks later, the GST was coming into effect, and everybody wasn't, there was protest here, protest there, but nothing significant to the point that it was of Rogers, protesting Rogers raising their rates. That's why I say that Canadians, in that aspect, have no idea of what's going on. The government is spending our money. The only thing that's going to happen at the end of this G20 summit is us taxpayers are going to get a bill for $1.6 billion to put on this stupid nonsense. If they wanted to save all this kind of, if they wanted to have the G20 summit, like they were saying, have it at Exhibition Place,
mm-hmm.
okay, would have saved a ton of money. Even better, stick them on Navy Island, right in the middle of the Niagara River between Canada and the United States. It's on an island. Nobody can get to them. They can have all their festivities there. If they want, they can pitch a tent. If they want, they can build a house, whatever. But it would have been a heck of a lot cheaper if we had done something to that effect. Nobody would have been inconvenienced by businesses. You could have still had your no-fly zone, and you wouldn't have cost us $1.6 billion. The government has gone way overboard, and we as Canadians need to step up, start protesting in an organized manner to the fact that the government is going to sit up and listen to what people are saying. Right now, there's a lot of people just saying this, saying this, saying this, saying this. I don't mm-hmm. like this, I don't like that, I don't like that. But we're not coming together as a whole, as a country, as Canadians, to stop this nonsense. We don't even have a Canadian identity left because of all this nonsense. Change this law, change that law, change this law. It's the same thing with the taxes. They want us to pay taxes. They keep taking our tax money and putting it to stupidness. And what do? We just sit back and say, yeah, okay. Same with this HST that's coming in.
13%.
The sales tax.
Right.
Nobody wants it.
Right.
But still, they're pushing it through. And I bet you if everybody got up and started protesting and started showing up en masse in numbers of 100,000 people or 40,000 people converging and saying, listen, we don't want this nonsense, then it'll stop. Same thing with the gas prices. If everybody started boycotting an individual gas station per day through the week, they would get the message and start backing off and stop gouging us. This is the problem. Canadians don't unite and protest for something that affects the country on the whole. They only decide to protest when it's something that directly affects them or their small community that they're involved with. That's why I say Canadians are stupid people, because they don't come together when we need to come together.
Right, right. And yeah, so you're, I guess that's the message. And you're saying, you know, down with taxes, down with the G20?
Well, I'm saying that we need to rein in on the taxes. We got to rein in on the politricksters because they're doing nothing but burning our money, and they don't care because it's not their money. They don't have to worry. They still get a double pension when they leave political office. Mm-hmm. The prime minister, Mr. Harper, he gets $100,000 to $200,000 a year pension or something to that effect. I don't know what the exact numbers are. But how many people in Canada make this kind of money? Mm-hmm. And then they expect us to sit back, take it, and pay the taxes when we can't even afford to put food on our table. When it comes down to a choice of either paying the rent, paying the mortgage, or paying the hydro, or putting food in your child's stomach, what do you do?
Right, right.
Good. We're left in a hard place, and the government doesn't give a damn. And as Canadians, we don't give a damn, obviously, because we're not protesting en masse. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to do.
Right, right. Yeah, and the countdown's on to the G20. And, thanks a lot for calling in.
All right,
speaking
man.
A lot of truth.
Night.
All right, peace. Word, and that was that's another caller. We still got a few more minutes left, so you can give us a call just in case anybody out there has got anything to say on 416-595-1655. We're talking about the G20. We're talking about what's going on in the world, I guess, because the G20 is basically the 20 largest economies in the world. And I actually did do some research. I have the information on the five other countries that were invited to take part in the G20. I guess in the G20, the leaders decide on five, that they're going to invite five, and I guess it's a rotating five. So this, for this upcoming summit in Canada, the five will be... Oh, hold on a second. We got another caller.
Hold on.
All right. We got another caller here on CKLN Radio. Hello, caller.
Hi. What's going on?
Hi. Not too much. How are you?
I'm all right.
Nice. Do you have any comments on the what we're talking about?
Yeah, I do. The guy who actually just spoke before me,
mm-hmm.
absolutely true, absolutely great.
Mm-hmm.
I think Canadians personally are falling apart.
Right.
The way people used to protest, used to actually make movements.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you can't just go out and protest and expect things to change. I understand people are leading up to it. They had that thing on CTV where... they wanted to. They were pre-rallying, and police already showed up and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, once that thing comes, and who knows what happens after that, everyone's going to go back to normal. Everything always goes back to normal. Nothing ever continues, because I don't know. It almost feels like it's for show.
Right. And I guess so. Are you? What are you thinking about this G20 though coming in? You think there's going to be a mass protest?
I think there will be a mass protest. I also think that maybe one-third of it are just going to be people who want to be there, who could say that they're there, just to see what happens, just to see what goes down, to see what gets destroyed, or to see what, you know what I mean? All these people that these people really want to protest against are going to be indoors, not hearing anything, while they're just protesting behind a fence that's so far away.
Right.
I'm not saying, like, people should, you know, commit complete chaos. But there's different ways of protesting. For example, Stephen Harper, I guarantee you, I don't think that he will be the next prime minister. I don't think he'll get another term. I don't know if he's allowed to, but I don't think he will. I know there's people like, I'm not really into politics, but I know there's people like Jack Layton, who's, I think, one of the truest last-standing Canadians who understand what this country's about, what it stands for, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm serious. Canadians are getting soft. I'm sorry, but it's true. Canadians are getting soft.
Now, are you getting at all nervous, though, on the federal scene about this talk of a... there's more coalition talk between the Liberals and NDP. Had you heard of that? And are you concerned with that?
I didn't hear about it too much.
Okay.
But...
because that's what they're talking about now, which seems a bit... I'm not sure about that. I'm not even sure if there will be a... you know, how soon the next election will be. But that's what they're saying, is that NDP is moving up in the polls. And, you know, Jack Layton has been asking about the... asking last week. I heard him asking a lot about the $1 billion. And so were the Liberals, too. But also, that, you know, Harper was in Europe last week, so he dodged the questioning. It was all the transport minister was getting all the questions about this $1 billion, you know, $1 billion on security, but... but yeah. Anyways, thanks a lot for calling in, though.
All right, no problem, man.
All right, peace.
Thanks.
Word. And that was, so that's another caller. And we do still have a few more minutes in case anybody out there still has anything else to say. 416-595-1655. And just before that caller, I was getting into the five other countries. The five other countries are Spain, the Netherlands, Vietnam, Ethiopia, and Malawi. Those are the five other countries that have been invited to the G20 that will have delegates here in Toronto for the G20. So those are that's one thing to look out for. And I just mentioned that Stephen Harper had been in last week, had been in Europe, and actually he was in the United Kingdom meeting with the new Prime Minister of the UK. And during his press conference, which they showed it on CPAC, you can see or you can hear Stephen Harper talking about his priorities and the agenda of the G20. Here is a quick clip here of Stephen Harper.
The G20, which was the main subject of our conversation today, will be focused on the global economy, on laying the foundations for sustainable and balanced growth. There are positive signs, but we are by no means out of the woods. The European financial situation is of concern, but at the same time, we do welcome the steps that have been taken to address this situation. We need to follow through on our G20 commitments, including stimulus, to avoid backsliding. But obviously, once stimulus expires, restoring public finances must be a priority. We've talked about the necessity of fiscal consolidation across the world and the necessity of implementing clear and realistic plans to reduce deficits and bring our budgets back into balance. We discussed other areas of G20 conversation, developing global growth strategies, the need for financial sector reform, and of course, resisting protectionism. And we're both working very hard to push forward the Canada-European Union trade discussions. On the G8, we discussed our child and maternal health initiative, as David mentioned. The United Kingdom has been a historic leader on these issues. We also discussed the leading role the G8 will continue to play in areas of peace and security, non-proliferation, terrorism, and organized crime. The G8 also has an important agenda in terms of accountability and ensuring that we live up to the commitments that we have made over the years. I look forward to working closely with the United Kingdom and our other G8 and G20 partners in the lead up to the summits. And of course, I look forward, David, to hosting you in Canada in a very short time, a very few weeks.
Word. So that was the Prime Minister Stephen Harper talking in the United Kingdom about, with a fellow Conservative. Now, David Cameron's the head of the UK, United Kingdom, and there's one thing that these two global leaders are disagreeing on. Here we have a New World Order debate going on within the G20, within the rulers of the world. Prime Minister Stephen Harper of Canada and Prime Minister David Cameron of the UK are not in total agreement on a global banking tax. You see, there's a lot of countries that want to have a tax on banks, and the Prime Minister of Canada doesn't believe in this global tax. Here is their words on this situation, global banking tax, David Cameron and Stephen Harper.
But Canada and the United Kingdom have had a different experience. Our experience was of a very large bailout by the taxpayer of the banks. And I think it's quite legitimate for people to say, well, in future, what we need is a bank levy to make sure that banks are paying a charge in respect particularly of their unsecured lending. The experience in Canada is different, and I'm not surprised that they take a slightly different view. But that's the clear view we take, and we'll be arguing for that in the G20. We think that many other countries will want to take a similar approach.
On the question of bank tax, I've answered that question. Very different history here in Britain. The population's outraged about having to have bailed out the private sector. That's not the case in Canada. That's obviously why we see this situation very differently. And I think if you look around the world, if you look at the countries in the G20, you'll see that those who favor a bank tax versus those who don't, it almost directly relates to whether the taxpayers had to bail out their financial sector. Look, every country always has the option of pursuing its own policies for its own financial sector. That's an option that exists for Britain and for all of us. That said, we do have a strong agenda that has been agreed at previous G20s in terms of global financial sector reform that everyone's agreed on and that I think we are all dedicated to implementing.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. We just got another caller here on CKLN. Hello, caller.
Oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt the discussion. I was just calling about the activities and the events that are taking place during the G20, and I was wondering if there's any way I can actually, if there's a website.
Yeah.
Retrieve the information from. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no problem. You can just check, but it'll be good for everyone to hear the websites. You can check out g20.torontomobilize.org. That's the Toronto Community Mobilization one. And then the other one you could check out is the People Summit one, which is peoplesummit2010.ca.
Okay, peoplesummit2010.ca.
Yep.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no problem. Thanks. Okay, thanks a lot. Okay. And yeah, so that's about wrapping it up here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We had a few callers. We had a few guests at the start of the show, and we've got a big G20 coming up. So we'll be, hopefully back next week with a lot more content and words on the Word of Mouth, looking ahead to the G20, which is taking over Toronto in a few weeks. Look out for around June 25th to 27th, big G20, G8 going on, and then also the People's Summit's going to be going on June 18th to June 20th, so check that out. I also want to thank Solomon Muyabuke of the Esplanade Community Group, esplanadegroup@gmail.com, for more information on the event taking place this Friday that he was talking about. And I also want to thank Adonis El-Jamal of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network, and their website g20.torontomobilize.org for more information. And my name is Daniel Libby, and this has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday for June the 9th, 2010. Stay tuned to CKLN for the next show, The Blue Remedy, with the Blues' Dr. Julie Hill to cure your music ills. That's right. It has been the Word of Mouth Wednesday, and we'll be hopefully back next week. Word up, word of mouth, word is bond, word.